How you doing this morning, FCC?
Good.
Where's Dodge? Is he in the back?
I only can take
his. Okay, I took his bottle. This helps me keep my intake of Pepsi a little bit less. You can't get a lot out of here, can you? Huh? This looks weird, doesn't it? Doesn't this look weird? Yes, there is something to this, though. There's something to this today because who watched a Husker game last night? Yep. Who was happy that they won? Who was not happy that they won? Anybody? Any non-Husker fans in here? I got a question for you this morning. Because it's a question I've asked myself. Why are you and why am I, what's the word?
Unhappy.
Why are we unhappy? Like, my happiness is so fleeting, Dad. Like, I called you at halftime and I said, what is going on? What is happening? The Huskers are down. Martinez is fumbling the ball. We got this new cat that I can't stand. Liz, do you want your cat back? I would never do that. And I only said that because my girls are in the back. I can't keep the cat off the counter. I can't keep the cat out of the food. I can't keep the cat's poop in the litter box. I can't do anything. So with one completion, I'm happy. With a fumble, I'm unhappy. You know, on payday, we're happy. But when bills come, we're not happy. We're happy when we go out and take our family to eat, but then we're not happy when we're dealing with stuff with our family, right? So we see people, and we see them in the grocery store. You see them out and about, and you say, Tony, how you doing? And you say, good. Are you doing good? Yes, I'm happy. But on the drive home, he's already thinking about things that aren't happy. I'm picking on you, Tony, because you probably are always happy. There are times that we're unhappy. And if you've ever been unhappy, can you give me an amen this morning?
Amen.
And I was thinking about that, and I was actually looking at a sermon, just a brief snippet of a gentleman named Francis Chan. Gave a great thing about being unhappy, and he was speaking to me. And you know what he told me about being unhappy, Carol? You know what he told me? He said, Bobby, you're unhappy because you suck. That's what you, Steve said, that's what, now, you're unhappy because you suck. And I was like, where's he going with this? And you're like, where is he going? I'll tell you where I'm going with this. I have been in ministry for so long, and I've went to church for so long, and I've done this God thing for so long that sometimes you come into a church, right, Linda? You come into a church, and you're like, God, I love you, but what are you going to give me today, you know? It's like for so long, like, Mom, will you hold this bottle? Like, how many of us don't come in and say, Mom, just sing for us today. Hold it up like you're feeding me. And I just come up there, and I just suck from my mom's bottle, right? Give me more. But then you get to my shirt, and I'm holding this up like, how can I feed, Eric, how can I feed you today? Like, what if my message doesn't speak to you? And God, what if my message doesn't speak to you? And my message never speaks to Dad, right? Because I always make fun of Dad. But how can I feed all of you? And it's like, it's up here. Sorry, Delise. And we suck, and we suck, and we suck. And like people, we've turned church into this thing that, what can I get from church? Amen? Not how awesome are you, God, but you'll leave and you'll go and eat and you'll say, well, Bobby was okay today, but it really didn't speak to me. And we're like, wow, because I've been there, right? And what makes us unhappy is that sometimes the people that should make us the happiest are sucking the life out of you. To be honest, there are marriages in this room right now that you're acting like you're happy, but one of you is sucking the bottle and the life out of your partner. For some of you, your jobs are just horrible. You don't like them. And the jobs are sucking the life out of you. For some kids that are here, I know they've went there, but for some kids, look up to me today. I'm telling you this. Some kids can seriously be at this point where you suck the life out of your parents because you're 45 years old and you're still dependent on your dad. Amen, Dad? And Mom, sometimes parents, we can suck the life right out of these kiddos. Because see, our life was so not what we thought it would be. And now my daughter can play basketball, or my son can sing, or my daughter is so smart, so I'm going to live through these kids. And you suck the life right out of your kids, amen? And before you know it, you find yourself, even though you tell people you're happy, you're really, what's the word in red? And I want you to look at this verse right here, Hebrews chapter 5. For though, what are the three words right there?
By this time,
you ought to be what?
Teachers.
But that's not where we're at. Because you need, what's the word in red? And God help you guys, because I'm your someone. Amen? You need someone to teach you, what's the last word in red there?
Again.
The first principles of the oracles of God. And we're only going to talk about one thing today. Can you say amen to that? One thing. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Here I'm with my bottle. Here I'm at 45 years old. And forget about the oracles of God. People, can I tell you, most of us live by this time you ought to be, and you thought your life would be something else. Amen? Who in here hasn't lived that? Who in here hasn't been married? And I don't care, Mom, how long have you been married?
Almost
49 years? There's some time in those 49 years where my mom and dad, they ought to be, by this time, you guys ought to be, honest to God, you guys should be teaching other people how to be married. For some of us, we're married, and you know you're not to the point you should be, and you're like, by this time, I ought to be this, but I'm just teaching. Dad, you went to so many, I picked on you in so many sermons, you ought to be up here preaching.
I don't think.
No one knows who wrote the book of Hebrews. Some people think it's Paul. I'm going to say it's Paul today. I don't know who it was, but whoever it was teaching the Hebrew people that by this time you really ought to be coming in and I shouldn't be having to go over these same things over and over and over again. Mom, do you remember when I was growing up and Biff and Susie, you'd have to repeat the same things to us over and over and over again. And by that time, we should have been able to teach other kids how to do it, but you had to keep repeating the easy principles. And FCC, I'm preaching to myself today, so I'm not stepping on any of your toes when I say this, because I want you to look at this. What do we need to be reminded of? What do you need to be reminded of today? My memory is going, my memory is fleeting, and I thought of three things. I wanted Frank Ford's card this morning, remember, honey? And I wanted to get that gift certificate for Stormy for singing later. And I wanted to get, I don't even remember the third thing, see? A birthday card for Jane. Jane, I forgot your birthday now three times. And I needed those reminders. Every single day I have anywhere from 5 to 15 notifications on here to remind me to be somewhere, to do something, to pick up the girls, to go do whatever. I even had a reminder that we had church at 10:30. And I took a picture of our kitchen. Look at that. Look at that. That's after one snack of mine. My wife's back. That's not our kid. That's not our sink. Actually, ours is way worse than that, Linda. Ours is way worse than that. And like Kemei is such good. And like, I will do this thing that I remind myself that maybe I can chip in here. I remind myself that maybe I can jump in here and I can do these dishes. And then Cam says, well, he said he'd do the dishes, so I'm just going to put it. And he said, eventually she ends up doing them. Amen? I need to be reminded of so many things. And today, I'm going to show you the one point, the one thing I'm going to talk about in the next 5-10 minutes. And you're going to be like, I can't believe this is the point of his sermon. But I'm your someone. Amen? I'm your someone. And someone in here needs to know this, that God what? God loves you. God loves you. You all believe that? Do you believe that today? I do too, but Judy, why don't I always live like it? I mean, look at these awesome verses. God loves us so much that he appeared. This is to Jeremiah, and he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness I have drawn you. I love you, and it never ends. You know all those people you've told that you love, and then they turn their back on you? You know all those people that they say they love you, and then all of a sudden they're out of your life? You know the kind of love that you have for your kids, that no matter how bad they screw up, and they're 45 years old? My mom and dad are still here. Amen? We know that verse. We also know this verse. Behold what manner of love God has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. We are God's kids. Do you believe that? Do you believe you're loved? And we all know the last verse. I wouldn't even have. God so loved us that he sent his only son, that whosoever believes in him will never die, will never perish, will never expire, but will have everlasting life forever. Amen? We believe all those verses, right? And Judy and Dave, you believe God loves you, right? Then how come we're unhappy? And how do I know this? There was a study done by Barna, the Christian study. 65% of United States residents feel. What's the three words in red? Okay, well, this study must have been from people in a low income from age 62 to 78. No, this study was done from age 12 till when people die. A mixed amount of people. There were 12-year-olds that said no one loves them. There was 20-year-olds that said no one loves them, or that's how they felt. 65%. And I know the study is not indicative of this congregation, but I guarantee you we have a percentage of people in here who have felt that no one loves them. And I know I scream in here. I know I encourage you. I know I tell people to put up in the mirror all of those things that God says about you. You're a winner. You're victorious. You are more than a conqueror. But if you want to know the truth, this is what these people who felt no love, look what they thought of themselves. Unworthy, unreputable, shameful, disgraceful, disgusting, good for nothing, not good enough. What's the last word? How sad is that? How unhappy are we? When if you get to the bottom of our heart, this is what we feel. And if it's not what we feel, I guarantee you we have somebody we love in our life who feels like this. Amen? It took me to a story in the Bible, and I'll keep it brief. There was a girl who was dying. And the people who loved this girl, they said, Jesus, come, and she's lying down, and she's about ready to die. And Jesus, as is his timing in many of our lives, when Jesus came, it looked like he was too, what? Late. And they ridiculed Jesus. Look up there. But Jesus came into the room and he put them all, what's the word? He put them all outside. The people that were telling the girl on the bed that they loved, you go outside. The people who had tried to make her feel better, go outside. The doctors who couldn't raise her up and make her better, you go outside. Jesus came in and he didn't say, you guys all join me in what I'm about to do. He said, you guys go outside. And he only took the mom and the dad. and those who were with him, and some people think it was only one or two. And I think the only reason Jesus took the mom and the dad were so we have a witness to what was about to happen. And he entered where the child was lying. And remember, they had been ridiculing him because she was already dead. And then he took the child by the hand and he said to her, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." I say to you, arise. What's the first word up there?
Immediately.
Immediately the girl arose and walked. She was 12 years of age. And they were overcome with great amazement. Great amazement. Cam, will you come here? You don't have to do anything. I just want you to sit right here. My wife still gets carted at many restaurants, so this won't be too much of a stretch. She's a 12-year-old girl. Can you sit here for me, honey? You're 12 years old. You've been so unhappy. Because you're dying, you're sick, you don't understand what's going on. Just like many of us, we don't know what's going on. We don't know why we've been given sicknesses. We don't know why we're in the middle of these horrible relationships. We don't know why we're in debt when we've tried our best to save. We don't know what's going on. And there's all these people. Look at all these people around you. Look at all these people in your room. And you're dying. And you're getting, and they're telling you, "I can help you." They're saying, "I have the answers." They're saying, "I'm a doctor who can make you better." Haven't you read the 10-step books that'll cure you of this? Haven't you seen the Dr. Filthy? Haven't you seen all the Facebook posts and the Instagram posts that say, "If only you would do this"? There are some people in your room today who are telling you they really want to help you, but deep down in their heart, they really don't care because they're so unhappy. They want you to be crushed so they can be up. There are people that are in our room sometimes who tell us they really want us to get better, but they just want to get around where all the gossip is so they can say, "Did you hear how sick Kameh was?" And you're looking around at all these people and you're wondering, who can I trust? Surely I can trust my mom. Surely I can trust my dad. Surely I can trust my doctor. But then you hear a knock at the door. "Dad, will you hit the pew a few times?" Listen to the knock. It's Jesus. And all these people that are in your room, all these people that are in your room, they're like, "Thank God, Jesus is going to come in. He's going to come in. Jesus, come in. Get in here. Come on up. Come on. He's coming in. He's coming in. He's coming in. And he's going to join with all of us. And maybe we can help him in some way to get better." But he doesn't. He doesn't say, "You guys all join me." Jesus actually says something that he doesn't always say to people. You actually tell them to get up. And get out.
And get out.
No, you're still there.
Oh, she can't get up yet.
You're dying. You're dying.
I was getting out. If this is my someone.
This is the best illustration I've ever done.
I think
it's I don't even know where I'm going. No. You see, guys, we expected Jesus to come in. And this is our disease, or this is our finance, or this is our relationship, or this is our church, and this is our problem. And Jesus has come in, and now we're like, "Oh, thank God you're here, Jesus. How can we help you do? How can I be a part of this? How can all these people be part of this problem and get it better?" But sometimes Jesus doesn't say that. He actually says to get out. He doesn't need your help. He doesn't need my help. He for sure doesn't need my dad's help. And he gets out. And now, Dad, it's Jesus and the girl and the mom and dad and maybe another disciple. And those that were ridiculing him, they're out of the room. And Jesus is not one to ridicule, but he's one. I wish Jesus would have in his mind, "Wait till you see what I'm about to do." Because FCC, look up here at this screen. Look up here right now. If Jesus is still in your, what's the word?
Room.
That's enough. That's enough. Dad can't go back. Will you guys give them a round of applause? If Jesus is still in your room, that's enough. And as my mom picks up playing here, I invite you to close your eyes across here. I invite you to close your eyes across here, because if Jesus is in your room, that's enough. And why am I saying that this morning? With eyes closed across here, many of us have been right where Kameh was sitting. Many of us have been right where that girl is. And we are so unhappy, and we're only 12, but we're so unhappy because things, we ought to be past the bottle. But we find ourselves sick, and we find ourselves not well. And we find ourselves saying we're happy when we're not. And we're looking around at a room full of people who they say they have our back. They say they're praying for us. They say you'll get better. But we are so beaten up inside. We so don't love ourselves that we don't believe anybody that's there. And if you're not that girl that's lying there this morning, you've been in that room as a family member who wants her to get up so bad. And maybe you're here today and you wish that son of yours or that daughter of yours or that spouse of yours would be sitting next to you because they need to hear this. Maybe you're sad this morning because someone is already with God this morning and they're no longer by you and you just wish they could be by you. And you've been in that room and you've tried to do everything you can for that person, but she just keeps lying there. And actually then you see them die. And you hear people ridiculing Jesus outside because he's too late. Jesus is always too late. And that knock comes. And I want you to picture it in your mind right now. That knock comes. And even though you are not happy with the timing of Jesus, you let him in. And even though you think Jesus may let you be part of the healing, or he may incorporate all the people that are in the room, he says something that you've never heard Jesus say. You've heard Jesus say, "Oh, bring all the children to me." You've heard Jesus say, "Jews and Gentiles, bring them to me." You've heard Jesus say, "I am all about inclusion. I am not about exclusion." But today you hear him say, "Get out. Get out. I don't have any time for gossip. I don't have any time for backstabbing. I don't have any time for unbelief. I don't have any time for people who say I'm too late, because I am right on time." So this morning, I don't care if you're 14 years old and you're dealing with bullying and a low self-confidence at school. You're worried about your grades and you don't know what's next. I don't care if you're 85 years old and you are so sick of all the meds you take and your health, and you're missing the spouse you once had and you don't know how to make it from day to day. I don't care if you're 45 years old and you have a disease and you're sick and you feel good some days and not good some days. I don't care if you're in the middle of a relationship and you think it will never get better. I don't care if you're in the middle of an addiction and you think this cannot be broken. I don't care, even though I care. I don't care, because Jesus has come in your room right now and he's said everything else. All your distractions, all the people who have told you how to get fixed, all the people who have told you you'll get better if you do this, all the people that think you'll never get better because you don't amount to anything, he just told them to get out. And all that's around you are the people that really care for you, your mom, your dad, maybe your best friend, but more than anything, Jesus. And even though you've been butting your head up against a wall to fix this problem for years, for months, maybe for days, it said immediately, Jesus told the girl to rise. And she rose. And then I love what he does. He turns to the mom and dad and he says, "Get her something to eat, because she's got a bright future." So today, FCC, wherever you're sitting and you don't think, your room has been crowded, there's been so much stuff going on, you don't know who to believe, you don't know what answers are real and what's coming from the devil, you don't know where God is because I can't feel him, you feel so claustrophobic, you feel sometimes so lonely all at the same time, if that makes sense, and you're like, "God, where are you?" And you hear that knock today and he clears the room out and he says, "I'm right here. Take a breath." So FCC, right now, just take a deep breath and inhale God. Inhale His presence in your room. And then exhale. And let out all the distractions. And let out all the crap that's in your life right now. Because if Jesus is in your room, that's all you need. Everyone else can go. And you will be more whole, and you will be more healthy, and you will be more well than you can ever imagine. So Jesus Christ today, with every person in here today, I ask that you give them the strength that they need to deal with what they're dealing with. Some of them are lying on the bed like the girl. Some of them are standing around those that they love and just wishing that they would get better. Some of us are outside the door because we're not even included in that group. But Lord, wherever they are, may they understand that there are times that you'll come into our lives and you'll tell us to get out, so that our distractions to get out, our addictions to get out, our friends that shouldn't be friends to get out, so that you can tell us immediately to rise up and be who I created you to be. Jesus Christ, I proclaim that on each and every person here today with the Holy Spirit that you've put inside of my body to tell these people. And I proclaim it over their lives today. And if you believe that with all of your heart, with all of your might, and with all of your strength, I ask you to give me a big, fat amen.